Morning, I want to charge on that prophetic word, the rest of the year is the best of the year, and say you have a reservation. You have a reservation. John chapter 2, from verse 1 to 11. John chapter 2, from verse 1 to 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." 5. His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it to the master, and they took it. Verse 9, when the master of the feast had tested the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning set out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." Verse 11, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. I'm praying for somebody that this month Jesus will manifest his glory in your life in the name of Jesus. In this passage of scripture that we just read, there are a few things that we can see before we get to where we're really going. It's that there was a wedding in a certain place, and of course you should not second guess that. Does God love weddings? He does love weddings. The first institution that he himself created was marriage. He was the one that conducted the wedding of Adam and Eve. And I think for many people, it may be instrumental to know how big the wedding of Adam and Eve were, especially sometimes when we want to break our neck over. The wedding of Adam and Eve, how big was it? It was a 3-man party or 3-man wedding band. God, who was your visiting minister, Adam and Eve. So when you have a 3-fold cord, you can do a wedding. Can somebody say amen? I'm just giving some tips, especially for 2023, for some people that want to, pastor, what is that? What is it? I've told some people, I said, look, marriage is more important than wedding. Wedding is a day. Marriage is more than a day. I'd rather have a good marriage and not so great wedding. In fact, I was talking to Pastor Andrew the other day. He was telling me of some people that did 10th-year wedding anniversary. And I was like, they redid the wedding. And I'm sure at that 10 years, they can even do it better. So God loves wedding. And invariably, God loves babies. Amen. So that's why some of us that love God, we love weddings. We love babies. Can somebody say amen? And because we are in a season of double portion, it is double babies that we will receive. In the name of Jesus. Anybody that is going to go for babies, something in this season, may God give you double. I'm laughing, but that laughter does not mean that it will not happen. In the name of Jesus. Because this quota of babies, God has to help us. We need to do better. We need to catch up. Because we love babies. In Jesus' name. So God loves wedding. Jesus loves wedding. But that's not the biggest thing in this story. It was not that there was wedding. It was not that God loves wedding. It was not that Jesus loved wedding. It was that they invited Jesus to the wedding. Not to come and solve problem, but just to be part of the wedding. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, one of the challenges many of us have is that we make God a come and fix it God. We make God, I will call on you when I need you. We make God my ATM machine when I need to dispense money. We don't understand that the biggest part of the relationship with God is that God wants to do life with you. God wants to be part of your journey. He doesn't want to be part of your journey when there is trouble. He wants to be part of your journey in the beginning. So they invited Jesus not as an afterthought, but a beforethought. Many of us, the time we bring in Jesus to the scene is as an afterthought. In fact, some people, when you tell them, let us pray about you, they say, has he gotten to that? It should always be at that. It should always be that we put it in the hands of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways. In all your ways. Your academic ways. Your financial ways. Your marital ways. Your ways that you have known how to do it before. Your ways that you have no clue about what to do. In all your ways. You don't have any area where you will not involve him. Is either Lord of all or not Lord at all? He wants to be Lord. You see, in that story, there were two masters there. There was the master of ceremony, but there was the master of the universe there. The master of the universe was invited so that in case any other person with masters mess up, the master of the universe would take over. So many of us have masters, and sometimes that masters make us to think that we are masters over the field that we have found ourselves. But can I tell you the truth? Even masters, they get clueless in the face of issues. That is why it is a good thing to always invite the master. It's the master of the universe. It's the one that has it all in control. You know, in children's church, they used to sing the word, he's got the whole world in his hand. It's not just a children's song rhyme. It's the real reality. He's got the whole world in his head. Now, if he's got the whole world in his head, then don't take yourself out of that world. Make sure that every time you have to do anything, wedding, anything, you involve God. Don't take God out of it. Don't feel like this is not a God thing now. And because people say those kind of things. Because in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our will. So make it a practice in your life to always involve Jesus every step of the way. You may need him when you least expect. If you have invited Jesus to your wedding before there is a problem at the wedding, you will now be looking for Jesus when he's on his way to Jairus' house, because he will already be at your wedding. Because if you are looking for Jesus when there is a trouble, when he's going to Jairus' house, the woman in the issue of blood is going to steal 1 hour out of it, and 1 hour of shame of no drinks in a wedding, it's not a good social media or something, you know. Because if people see it on social media, in pastor's wedding, you are married, so I can use you as an example. Because if I use anybody, you say, am I prophesying? No, I'm not prophesying. You are already married. So in pastor's wedding, the drink finished. There was no more drinks for one hour. But thanks be to Jesus that some people were smart. And this is one of the things you need to do with your life. Especially as you begin to look at a new year. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, involve him. In all your ways, bring him to the scene. And in verse 3 of that scripture, the Bible says, they ran out of resources. Ladies and gentlemen, only God is unlimited. Every other thing can be limited. Every other thing can finish. Every other thing can stop. But the fact that things stop should not mean that you will stop. Because if you have already held the hands of the Alpha and Omega, if you have held the hands of the beginning and the ending, it will not only begin with you, it will finish with you. That is why the Bible, speaking in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, says, I am called confident of this, that he that began a good work will finish it with you. So what does that mean to you and I? It means that with God there are no abandoned projects. Things can finish, but God can change a stop to a pause and start the sentence again, or start the journey again, or start the business again. And so this morning I want to prophesy to everything that stopped, that should not have stopped, to everything that is in a state of abandoned project, let it hear the word of the Lord this morning. Let there be life in the name of Jesus. The resource is finished. And blessed are you if you know what to do when there is nothing. Blessed are you if you have who to call when the resource is finished. Ladies and gentlemen, the person you will call when the resources is finished or is running out is the person you have had relationship with when the resources were good. There are so many people. One of the challenges we have is when the going gets good, we leave the good God. But when the going gets tough, we remember God. And sometimes the way people will remember God is that, God, why have you done all this to me? Am I the only one? What did I do? Now, when resources finish, what are you going to do? You are going to do what these people did. They went to the one that can fix it. They didn't keep describing the problem to everybody at that party, because sometimes that's what so many people do. They want to create a pity party. They want to create a mini mourning. Let me tell you the truth. When there is an issue and people mourn, it does not mean that the mourning will make the issue better. It's not bad to, you know, relieve and think through what happened and understand that some things didn't happen the way they should be. But if you sit with mourners, if you sit in the seat of pity, you may not experience what you need to experience. So what do you do when things don't work the way you want it to work? What do you do when the resources run out? You run to the one that controls all resources. You run to the one that calls himself El Shaddai. When he showed up to Abraham in Genesis 17, he says, I am the Almighty God. That word there is, I am the El Shaddai. Which means I am the one that cannot finish. I am the one that does not run dry. I am the one that has no limit. I am unlimited. So when the limited resources run out, run to the unlimited God. Can somebody say amen to that? And verse 5, the Bible said to them, do whatever it tells you to do. As simple as that word sounds, that's sometimes the missing link with many of us. We do what we think we should do. We do what others tell us to do. But we forget to do what it tells us to do. How do you get a miracle? A miracle is simply this: obeying what he told you to do. A miracle is not doing what you want to do. A miracle is obeying what he told you to do. Because every time he may give a different instruction from the other people. If you look at the ministry of Jesus, Jesus usually never healed the same sickness the same way all the time. Jesus, he was always varying it. And I think one of the reasons he was varying the approach was so that people would not take the method. Because, you know, human beings, oh, so this is how they heal blind people now. Put spittle on the floor, make mud of it, put it in people's eyes. You know that some people just commercialize it, especially some of those disciples. Because there were some of these disciples that they were very ambitious. You remember some of them that came to meet him and said, excuse me, we know that there's vacancy. We know you have a throne. Who's going to sit on the left? Who's going to sit on the right? Our mom has come. We are the first people to put in application. We want to be on the right. We want to be on the left in your kingdom. So imagine those kind of people, that kind of mindset, that Jesus was always healing blind people. Ah, okay. If blind opening eye center, you know, come with your spittle and then we'll mix it up. The clay is here, and then the man of God or the clinician or the doctor will put the clay on your eyes. They will turn it into ritual. But you see, Jesus was trying to show them that I am the one that is doing this thing. The method is not the main thing. I, the one who is doing it, am the main thing. So the focus has to be on him. So we must not obey any other thing but obey the master. But where I'm going this morning really is verse 10. Verse 10 says, and he said to them, every man at the beginning set out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This man said something that, if you listen to it very well, he's saying the way men operate is this: they start from the best and they keep getting bad, and they keep working towards the worst. So that means that in the natural, things degenerate. In the natural, the best is not at the bottom. In the natural, it starts good, but it never usually ends good. It's kind of gets bad, you know, there's wear and tear, that's what we call it. But Jesus now came and reversed the natural, because Jesus was trying to prove a point. Because he said there, men usually reserve the best to the last, but Jesus now brought a different kind of reservation. And I've come to tell you, that's the reservation that you have this month. It's not the reservation of man, it's the reservation of God. Because the reservation of man is that in the beginning, it's very good, but toward the end, it's not that good, because things are winding down, because we're ending, you know. So when people are ending things, it's as if the end is not as smooth. But the Bible is telling us that at the end of the feast, it was better than the beginning. That is the work of God. So that means that with man, it may start good and end bad. But with God, it doesn't matter how it started, it gets better. So I've come to tell you, it doesn't matter what happened in 2022, with God, it gets better. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says, the path of the righteous is like a shining light that shineth brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. That means that it gets better. So I'm not getting, I'm not degraded. My memory, I'm not losing my memory with my age. I'm not losing my health with my age. No, because I am with God and I have the God reservation, not man's reservation. The end is better. The end is better. The Bible speaking in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, especially a thing that God is involved in. That's why I know that better is this end of this year than the beginning thereof. So I've come to tell you this morning, you have a reservation, and that reservation is not the man time. Men reserve, they don't reserve the best to the last. They start with the best, but man, God reserves the best to the last, and that's what he has done for you in the name of Jesus. So if this is what God has done for you, what should be your posture? The first posture you need to have is expect great things. Expect great things. Don't feel like the year is over. It is not over until it's over. Expect great things. Expectation is the mother of manifestation. There are so many people that begin to expect great things for January 2023. Amen. It's going to happen. But what about December 2022? And we have not finished yet. It is not over until it's over. No. God sometimes comes big when he comes late. Did you remember that God came to Lazarus' tomb 4 days late? But 4 days late was better than if he came early. Because what he did was that, because if he had come maybe before he died, he would have healed him. But what he did was he gave him resurrection. What happened to Lazarus that was that it's as if everything that killed him died. So by the time Lazarus woke up, those things had already died. They were already in the tomb. So there was a new Lazarus. So what Jesus did by coming late was better than by coming early. So I've come to tell somebody this morning that you should expect great things. You should expect that what you have seen is not all there is to see. There is something about expectation. Expectation will bring what you are expecting. If you are expecting, you is like a magnet. Expectation is a magnet. It draws the equivalence of what you are expecting. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 18. Proverbs 23 verse 18. The Bible says, for surely there is an end, and your expectation shall not be cut off. I'm praying for somebody this morning. As you begin to expect big things to still happen in this year 2022, your expectations will not be cut off in the name of Jesus. Expect great things. Our God is a great God, and God can do great things. Don't limit God. Don't use time to limit God. Don't tell God this doesn't happen in December. Don't say this. No, God is a master at bringing the best out of the worst. Many people have thought that at that wedding, somehow they will just summarize the wedding and then they will say everybody should go home. At least some people will have had something to drink and then will apologize to everybody. And God is saying, no. There's no apology. I want to show glory. So when sometimes things are delayed, when sometimes things are late, when sometimes things are not coming, it's not because it's not going to happen. God wants to do great things. So if you have not seen some things till now, expect great things. Because the Bible in verse 11 of that scripture said, not only did Jesus give them wine, the Bible said he manifested his glory. Hey, you didn't get that one. He manifested his glory, and glory was the commodity he was dealing with. In fact, if you get to John chapter 17, he started telling the Father, he said, you know his glory that was the commodity I had with you when I was in heaven. Now I left that glory. I manifested some level of glory here. I want that glory back. So what Jesus did in John chapter 2 was more than giving them a drink, was more than serving and taking away what was happening there. The Bible said Jesus manifested his glory. So Jesus showed up because of that event, because of what happened there. The power of Jesus, the divinity of Jesus, the deity of Jesus was in there. Let me tell you the truth. What God wants to do with your life is so that your life will be an advertisement to his name. Is so that your life will bring glory to his name. Is so that people will glorify God because of you. I want you to put your hand on your chest. Say, in my life, people will see the hand of God and they will glorify God in the name of Jesus. So expect great things. Expect great things. Don't think it can't happen. It's too late. It's too this. Who told you that? How many days do you need? If he created the world in 6 days, there are still many, many 6 days, multiples of 6 days, at least maybe like three creation cycles can still happen in these 3 days, in this few months, a few days in this month. So what does that mean? It means that God is not yet done. God can do great things. God is a God who can do better than his best of yesterday. God always outdoes himself. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So what does that mean? It means God can supersize the request. He can give you what you can't even ask for. He can give you what you cannot even think about. But at least give him some raw material to work on so that he will exceed that raw material that you have given. Expect great things. Expect great things. Something good will happen to me this month. I will get into the mail. I will receive something good. Nothing bad will happen to me this month. Because you see, some people, what they expect at the end of this year is that bad things will happen. You know, towards the end of the year, bad things always happen. There's accident. Why should it happen to you? Why should it happen to you? I'm not expecting accident. I'm not expecting bad things. And it is possible that the devil may throw it at me. But because of my expectation, it will not land. It will just brush me like that, like the accident you had that the people had, and no bone was broken, no this. It will just brush you, and then you'll move on. And then the latter will even be better than the beginning, in the name of Jesus. So what do you do? Because you know you have a reservation, you should expect great things. And then let me add this to that. Not only should you expect great things, attempt great things. Attempt great things. Move towards great things. Act like you are expecting. Because I don't know that you are expecting until I see what you are doing. If you are expecting and your expectation is not leading to action, your expectation is just like a wish. You are just wishing. If you are really expectant, expectation will turn into some level of action. And let me tell you this, there is a dimension of miracle you will never see except you are on the move. Except you are on the move. There are many miracles that will not come and meet you at home. If you are one of the four lepers, you will not get that miracle sitting where you are. You have to move. Look at this scripture as I close. I love the scripture so much. Genesis chapter 24 verse 27. this is Abraham's servant who went to do a spy study or a search mission to get a wife for Isaac. Look at what he said here. He said, bless the Lord God of my father, of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me. He didn't say, as for me, when I was in my master's house, the Lord led me. He said, when I got on the way, the Lord led me. It sounded like, when I got on the water, I could walk on water. How can you know if you can walk on water if you don't get out of the boat and get on the water? There are too many of us. We are playing it too safe. We are moving too, you know, cautiously, carefully. You know, don't ruffle any feather. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Let me tell you, the safest place to be is in the hand of God. And sometimes, in that safe place, he'll push you into a place where you take some risk and you take some action. As the year is running to an end, don't shut down. Don't shut down. Don't close the books. Don't put full stop on the sentence. Just put a comma and continue writing. Make sure that you are expecting and attempting great things for God until we say Happy New Year. Don't call this year over, because it is not over until it's over. Or it is not over until God says it's over. Some of us have been watching the World Cup, right? Have you not seen that? That's been happening in some of the games where somebody will be 2-0 ahead, and then suddenly some people will just come back, psh, and then everybody will think, wow, it is going to empty the tie, and then somebody will throw in the last goal. Because it's really, until the final whistle, anything can still happen. And until God blows the final whistle, anything can still happen. And he wants to do great and mighty things in your favor, in the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen to that? So I want you to bow down your heads this morning and verbalize your expectation. I want you to tell him that I'm not giving up on 2022. I'm not writing this year off yet. I'm not signing out yet. I'm still here. I will still hold on to you. Somebody may want to involve Jesus and invite Jesus. Remember, that's how they started. They invited and involved Jesus. Have you invited Jesus into your heart? Have you involved Jesus in that thing? Go ahead and involve him right now. Say, I invite you into my life. I involve you in my life. I involve you in this matter in the name of Jesus. And tell him that you are expecting great things.